happy would you be? I know you got to see it in the spirit, but God has paid your debt. When you pass from this world to the next, when you take that next breath with the Lord, He's going to say welcome, because you are welcome, because He paid your debt. Amen? He paid that debt on the cross. And guess who He paid it for? All of us who believe. Who what?
Believe.
Do we have to do anything else? We have to believe. And that's our Father, and that's Jesus. Give Him praise.
Thank you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. That's our promise. That's our God. That's why that Bible is everything to us, his word to us, in Jesus' name. Sponsor reading, Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Day to day, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all people. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. We are always in line with the word when I ask you to give him praise. We are in line with the word of God. Understand that other churches might not do it as much as we do, but that's not, we're doing it for Jesus. We're not doing it for other churches. We are in line with the word of God when I ask you to praise him, to give him that praise in all the psalms and all that you read. Amen. We're in line with the word. Isn't that a good feeling? To me it is. To me it's everything. Hallelujah. Psalm 27 said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock." Hallelujah. Now if I just read that to you, I don't know how many people it would touch, because here's why. Sometimes when you read something in the Bible and it doesn't make your heart feel better, here's the reason why. First of all, you have to live that to understand that. Can I get an amen? David wrote that because he lived it. Amen. You go back and read what it says and then you'll understand. Until you live this, he wrote that. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Well, how would you know that unless you lived it? Amen. Unless you allowed him to be that. And unless you went through trials and tribulations and God has carried you through 47 years, Chuck and Marilyn, God had something to do with that. Amen. Now they can read that and say, that's right. God is my light, my salvation. Amen. Reading is not enough. Amen. We celebrate victories. After what? When do we celebrate victories? After what? After each battle. We talked about that last week. Amen. You only celebrate the victory after the battle. But after you do that, you have what? More strength and more faith. In who? God. Amen. In the church? No. In me? No. In God? Yes. Amen. So when you read some of these, you say, boy, that sounds good, but I don't get it. You know, whom I shall be afraid. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. You might say, well, I don't know what that means. But until your enemies fall, until God carries you through things, then you'll understand. Because notice one interesting word right there when I'm trying to explain. When the wicked came against me. What does that mean? It already what? Happened. He already fought the battle. Amen? So reading is not enough. Victories come after each battle. That's what David did. But understand this. For you to be strong, to hold on, and to call God and ask him to deliver his word to you, the power of God's word to God. Hallelujah. When you start reading the word of God, and you start praying the word of God, and you start believing the word of God, when you start praying to God, listen to this because this is so powerful. When you start praying to God, then guess what you're using to God? You're using his words. You're using his words. He said, "Lord, do not tarry." The Bible says not tarry. He said, "You're going to take care of all my enemies will fall." When you start using God's word to God, Amen. Imagine how powerful that is in heaven, because the angels hear you praying. Amen. They hear the prayers going up. They hear what you're saying to God, and they look at God and say, he's talking about your word. She's praying your word, Father. And he answers with more power. Amen. That's what we, you know, and so I would say this to you this morning in testimony. I pray this. I can further your walk with God, whether you believe today or not. Whether you believe today or not, amen? Whether your faith is where my faith is or not, it doesn't matter. I pray that today, George, I can move you further. I can move you, Joseph, further than you thought today by praying and reading the Word of God. That's my prayer. That should be everybody's prayer in church, that people are changed every single week, amen? Every single Sunday, people go to church and their life should be changed, because you're talking about who? If you leave feeling the same way, then the people on the pulpit have failed. They haven't fed you God's word. Amen? So I pray that I can further your walk with God, whether you believe today or not. Hallelujah. And I will tell you this. Remove whatever it is that's stealing from you. And I wish that, Lord, the people need to hear this message. People are doing drugs. People are drinking. People are doing things. And it's, oh, is that a sin? It's a sin against your body. Amen? When you do things like that, nothing good is going to happen. Amen? So I pray that you remove whatever it is that's stealing from you, because that's what it's doing. That stuff is stealing from you, stealing your health, your happiness, your dreams, and stealing your life. How many know we all need help? Amen? How many would know that we all need each other? Holding, lifting, encouraging, leading. That's what church is for. David says it all the time. You come to church to be a family. You come to church so each one of us can help each other. Amen? And here's the thing. Here's the thing, Miss Pat. I can't prove it to you. I can stand here and talk about God all day, but I can't prove it to you. That's faith that begins that work. When you start believing, however small you believe, that's where it starts, faith coming and proving his word. Amen? That's what happens. God will always meet you where you are. Imagine that. He's not mad at you. People say God's mad at you because you did this or you did that. That's foolish. Amen? God loves you. How many have you ever been mad at your children and not loved them at the same time? Amen? He loves us beyond what we think. And he says that he will meet us wherever we are. It is faith that will make you stronger, because you will be living through it all with God, with Jesus, if you're willing. And then when you read Psalm 27 next time, when you open it up, Judy, and read Psalm 27, you'll understand it, because you've lived it. And you understand what David was saying. Through all my trials and tribulations, through all the pains in my life, through all the losing that we've had in our life, like losing my mother and my father, who got me through it? God got me through it, amen? Because I had a more strength inside of me than I had for myself, because it was God who got me through that. And when I read that, I say, yes, it's true. Amen. I was once blind, but now I see. It is up to you. Let's pray together. Let's pray together this morning. Let's pray together that we understand that we need to live with God. We need to walk with God. We need to also understand that God is going to carry us through, which means you have to do some walking too, which means he's going to walk with you, which means you're going to see the fire and you're going to see the flames. You're going to see the trials and tribulations, but God is walking with you. Walking. He doesn't want to take it away from you. He wants to walk through it with you, for when something else comes, and let me tell you, it will, it always does, you will look back and say, been there, done that, and continue walking stronger than you ever thought possible. That's why you come to church, to hear this word, to understand what this Bible is, to understand fellowship. There's nothing in the Bible that says you're going to go to hell if you don't go to church on Sunday. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Amen? Nothing. So God said, don't forego the fellowship, Pat. That means the friendships and the love and the connection in church. That's what Father says, amen? And that's who I believe. Hallelujah. So I pray today that you just stop thinking what you know and let God fill you with what he knows. Grow in God. Don't be the same today that you were yesterday. Get excited about the things of God. See where God brought you through and carried you through and still carrying you. He's still carrying me. And know that God is real. And the words of the 27th Psalm are real. David lived it. We must live it too. And then when you understand that, your faith starts to grow. And as your faith grows, nothing can stop you. Because you know that God is with you. In Jesus' name, I pray that you receive that testimony of God today. Hallelujah.
Hear my prayer, Lord.
want that peace that comes from God, give him praise this morning. Let him open your heart. Hallelujah. Whew. This Bible that I read every day, and I hope that you do too, and when you talk about God and talk to God, understand this. It's a history book of other cultures, of other beliefs and gods, and ways of life, lessons to learn and understand. People don't seem, they think, well, there's things in the Bible. They don't understand some of the stories in the Bible are history of other nations, of the way they lived and the way they treated other people. When you want to, we all need wisdom, amen? And you want understanding. That's why you read the Old Testament, to get understanding about how it was, amen? Because now we live in the covenant of grace. How many know that we live in the covenant of grace? If somebody comes against you, you say, no, I live in the covenant of grace. I sin against God. I confess to God. I don't confess to man. Amen? It's a history book. And God knew that the laws he gave to the Jewish nation, they couldn't keep. He knew that. He knew that nobody could keep these laws. They were just against all flesh. Amen? He knew that. Amen? But like we try to protect our children and our friends, amen, just like we try to tell our kids, don't do this and don't do that. How many have ever done that with your children? Amen. Or you don't do this, don't do. And it's like God saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And how many are guilty of this? So, see, he knew that. Amen. Hallelujah. Like we want it. Sometimes they don't listen, and we don't listen. But here's something with the people that you love the most. The people that you want to see get stronger. They must see us, and I say us, living through those same trials and temptations, not acting as if they can't touch us. Amen? If we acted as though those trials and temptations couldn't touch us, guess what we are? We're liars. Amen? If we say that we're perfect and all the strength that we have, we don't need any help, we're liars. Amen? So we got to teach our children. They got to see it. They got to see what they went through. Chuck's family, they got to see with Chuck and Marilyn what they went through for 47 years. 47 years, amen? When they see what they've had ups and downs. They've went different directions. It's life. It's called life, amen? How many have done that, amen? I've been there. But when people see what you've been through, see, and they begin to understand, and they begin to believe, they must see us living through those same trials. And then each new revelation, when you're talking about God, when you're hearing the Word, when you come on Sunday, and you hear something that touches you, and brings a new dedication, a rededication. When you hear something from the book of the Lord, and the preacher preaches it, and it touches your spirit, that means you have a good chance for a rededication today. So what do I got to rededicate? You rededicate your life to God every day, amen? Every day. See, he'll show you something new, Sergio. He will. I promise he will. We just rededicate. Anytime you feel good with something with God, you say, that's God. I want more of that. I want. How many want more? I want more. Hallelujah. If God showed you about you and you believed it, if something happened today and God showed you, if my words touch you today and you receive it, hallelujah. If my words are touching you, touching your spirit, if they're moving you, if they're lifting you, if they're comforting you, it is not me, but it's God, because I'm using God's word. Amen. God called me to preach the word. God told me to read the word because in my spirit, I love it. And I just have to express it. Amen. But if anything I say to you touches your heart today in a way that it didn't before, that's God moving you. Amen. That's how it happens. It's not me. It's God. That is the revelation. Every day when you learn something new and you accept it, say that with me, accept it, because sometimes it's hard for people to accept something that sounds a little different than what we've been trained to all our lives, amen? It's hard, I get it, but if it comes out of this book, we must receive it, amen? And when you receive it and you feel that goodness, you feel lifted up, you feel stronger, you feel you have more hope, then you want to rededicate yourself to who? God, not me, not the church, but who? God, amen? Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, but one and the same Spirit work in all things. How many spirits? Work in all things. The Holy Spirit. Who's that? That's God in spirit, amen? Hallelujah. That's our promise. Our promise, amen? From God, not from man. Can I get an amen? By one Spirit. One and the same Spirit works in all of us. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren. And this is what they taught them. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Sound familiar? Some churches think that if you weren't part of their denomination, you're lost. We were talking about that this morning, weren't we, Marilyn? Some believe that if you're not part of this, with this name under it, you're not a Christian. You're not walking the right way. You're not believing the way we tell you to believe, because we want to tell you how to believe it. Amen. I know it's hard. Amen. But God made it easy. Hallelujah. He did. Let me read it again. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, imagine that. I can imagine how much small dissension and dispute with them. They were arguing with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So listen, so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion, and they were doing this, describing the conversion of the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Please understand that's us, amen? And they caused great joy to all the brethren. What did they cause? Great what? Joy. That's God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. More rules, amen? God has told us one thing. Who's telling us something else? It's happening all the time. I know. I remember something. Let me go off just for a second. I read and I couldn't find my book, but George Washington. Remember, anybody know George Washington? He said the one thing he was afraid of in this country, that we would develop parties. Parties. He said that all that's going to cause is division. People are going to choose sides. And when they once they choose sides, they can't be on your side because they're on this side. They can't agree with you because this side will get mad at them. And then they'll start pointing fingers and saying things about each other. He didn't name parties. He just said when the division happens, it's going to be destructive to the country. Amen. I see it with God all the time. I talk to other brothers and sisters. I say, what are you? And they tell me, I'm Methodist. I'm this. I said, why aren't you just a Christian? Why do you got to have a name? Why do you got to be separated? Why, we're not separated, amen? The Bible says we're not. You see, George Washington was talking about a country. I'm talking about God and the church, amen? When he walks through that door someday, he's looking for a bride. How many brides? One bride. Chuck has how many brides? One bride. He's not going to look for somebody who believes in all this other stuff. Hey, look what we included. He'd say, I don't even know those people. They don't worship me. They don't love me. They don't follow after me. They're following after themselves. To make themselves look big. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is so cool. This is in the book of Acts. You guys who go to Bible study might sound familiar to you. So, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them that to keep the law of Moses. Now the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And when there was much dispute, imagine that. People say we shouldn't argue in church. Well, there you go. Guess what? In the book of Acts, what they were doing, they were disputing. Amen? Peter rose up. Who rose up? Imagine this. Picture that. Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren. Then he said this. You know that a good while ago, God chose among us that by my mouth, the Gentiles, who's the Gentiles? We are good. Should hear the word. Should do what? Hear the what? They should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's it. And then he says, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. Imagine that. And he goes on to say, and he made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. By what? Faith. The only way you can please God, through faith. So Peter continues, now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Then all the multitudes kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Now this is good. And after that they became silent. Now here's James stands up now. Amen. James stands up saying, answer this. Men and brethren, listen to me. And they did. He said, Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophet agree, just as it is written. And here's the powerful part of James. He's going to go to the Old Testament now, amen? These Pharisees are preaching from the Old Testament. They're talking about Moses. So James is going to go right to the heart of what they believe because he's going to go to the prophet Amos, amen? He's going to go right to the old book because they know the old book, amen? And he says this, and with these words, this is the word of the prophets agree just as it is written. After this, I will return and will build and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which had fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name. How many? Says the Lord who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all his works. And he said, therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from these things, polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Now understand that he did not make a new commandment. Amen? He said we should abstain from certain things. Now the food that was dedicated to idols, polluted by idols, this means that people gave glory to other gods for the food. Amen. They presented that food to false gods. They sold food that was tainted. Amen. And it wasn't blessed by God. That's what he's saying. And of course, we all understand what sexual immorality means. And it says things strangled and from blood. Understand, that's the Jewish, that's what they believed. But he did not give us a new commandment with there. Amen. Then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are the Gentiles, Antioch, Syria, Cilicia, Derby, Connecticut, Ansonia, Connecticut, Bridgeport, Connecticut, folks all in the United States of America, people all over the world who believe. I'm sorry, I'm just adding a little bit because this is the apostles and the elders and brethren to the brethren who are Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. But this is for us. Listen, it says greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your soul, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same thing by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Let me read it one more time because I want you to follow me. This is beautiful. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burdens than these necessary things. That you abstain from offering to idols. Hallelujah. From blood, from things strangled, from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these, you will do well. Amen. Now understand that these cannot be seen as requirements for salvation. Instead, they represent a basic separation from glaring paganism and its practices, particularly offensive to the Jewish nation. Amen. When he was talking about that, he was talking about what was offensive to the Jewish nation. Amen. He did not give us new commandments. And notice what it said at the end. If we abstain from that stuff, we will do well. How many understand that? If we abstain from smoking, we will do well. Amen. That doesn't mean that if you're smoking, you're going to go to hell. Understand that. Amen. It's what you do to yourself and your body that causes it. I mean, that's just what it is. Nobody judges each other. Amen. How many have faults? Lord, you have no idea how many faults I have. You don't have any idea. So I don't have time to look at what Lord says. Just said, if you abstain from doing stuff like that, you're going to live stronger. Amen. You might have a longer life. You might have a happier life. You might not get as sick as you might have. Amen. He's saying these things, if you do these things, you will do well. Amen. He didn't make a new commandment. How many commandments we have? One, love your father. Amen. Love him as you love your neighbor. Hallelujah. Understand what they're saying here. Thank you, Lord. And understand this. There is no need to compromise. Anybody ever hear that word? We hear it in politics a lot. We need to compromise. I say, okay, maybe the compromise is a good thing in politics. But we don't need to compromise this book, amen? There's no need to. Can I get an amen? And I tell you this, in fact, why would we want to compromise God's word, amen? Why would we want to do that? Compromising is to take something or add something else to try to improve something that needs no improvement, amen? If somebody makes the best soup, that George Michael makes his best soup, the best pasta fazool, amen? I say, hey, George, compromise. Put a little spaghetti in there or something. That's a compromise. I don't never do that. Well, compromise. All of a sudden, it's not the same anymore, amen? All of a sudden, it doesn't taste the same. You've compromised it. You've milked it down, amen? You don't water down things that are good. This Bible is beautiful. We don't have any other commandments from God. Amen. We are all saved. He died for all of us once on that cross. Amen. For anybody who will what? Believe. Amen. You don't have to run circles around the block. You don't have to stand. You don't have to go to people and talk to people. You talk to God because His Word says so. Amen. There's no other commandment. We have been given one Holy Spirit in this world. Amen. How many? One. We don't need two. Amen. We don't need to add something to the Holy Spirit. We don't need to add something to the church. We accept everybody. You see, that's the thing that gets me most. People that don't know, they couldn't fill a matchbook cover what they know about the Bible, telling people about the Bible, how bad we are. Let me tell you, I hear more about it, that they're coming against us because they think we're against abortion. Well, of course we're against abortion. But I would ask you this, how many people choose life? We all want to be. I mean, if every baby could be born, wouldn't that be a good thing? I mean, really, I'm not saying, you understand what I'm saying? If we had to choose between life and death, what would we choose? Amen. So it's not an argument. We don't condemn anybody for it. We pray for those. Amen. We pray for those that we've lost. I always say, especially about that, how do we know that we didn't take a life of somebody who God was sending here to cure cancer, to cure dementia? How do we know that? Because there's only great people. Einstein in Washington. There's only a group of great people. How do we know that? We don't know. God might tell us someday. But they look at us calling us hate. We don't judge. You see, the people who don't know what we're talking about think we judge people, and that's the last thing we do. That's why the churches need to tear down these walls, tear down these parties, tear down these denominations, and get into the Word of God, because we're confusing people with what we believe. Amen? What we accept. What were you telling me today, Walter, about that church you're going to have? I'm not just saying, you were telling me about they're going to have drag queens in church today. Yeah, they're going to celebrate that in church today. I have to tell you this. The people that are coming against us in the world, the people who want to murder us in the world, they call them ISIS. I have to tell you this. They truly believe every single word that they read in the Quran. They believe it. They might have distorted it. They may have taken it their own way. But trust me, those people believe. We as Christians need to believe the same way. We need to believe God. We need to stop putting walls between us. We need to stop making rules and regulations that keep us separated from God and ourselves. Amen? The people go to a different church and they're confused. They're hearing, you got to do this. You got to do that. How much money did you give me this week? What are you doing tomorrow? You can't, well, you were married once before, you can't be married again. You had a child out of wedlock. Well, that child can never be blessed. Where did you ever read that? My God has forgiven all our sins. The word all is pretty big, amen? That doesn't give us carte blanche to go and sin. We understand that, amen? That doesn't mean because God forgives us, we can go out and do anything we want. No, we can't. But the other thing is, the beautiful part is, when you love God with all your heart, you don't want to do those. You don't want to hurt Him. Because hurting Him hurts your life too. It hurts your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's just, there's no need to compromise because what we have needs no improvement. We just need to tear the walls down. Tear the commandments. Just tear all these rules and regulations. Get them out of the way. And come to God as a bride. As Marilyn came to church, come to God as a bride. When he walks in, let him see one accord. People in one accord, praising him, loving him. Families together, lifting up. We need to teach our children. Don't let the world teach your children. My God, it's gonna be awful. If we allow people who don't have an inch of Bible knowledge to tell people about the Bible and to tell people that we're haters, we're going to all fail. We need to stop divisions. We need to come together and stand up and say, we love everybody. Everybody is welcome here. When you come into this house, search for God. Don't search for your own, because that's not going to church. Search for God. Hallelujah. I met a man. Remember we talked about that church in Bridgeport? There was the congregation. No, it was the United. Was it the church that was sold? They sold it to, it was 300 people. I read the article. David, would you give me the article? Was that? There were 300 people in that church, and they sold the church. Miss Judy, they sold it because they weren't bringing enough money in. They sold it to another group, another religion. And the religion told them, oh yeah, we know that you give food to the poor and you make food downstairs and you process the sandwiches and then you go out and pass it. Oh yeah, you can still do that. We want you to do that. Oh yeah, we're going to help you with this and we're going to be a part of that. Well, I met a man who was on the board of that church, who was part of the choir in that church, and guess what happened? Nothing. They can't do nothing. They can't use the church. They're not allowed to use the basement. They're not allowed to pass the food out. They're not allowed. They were thrown out completely. Amen. Let me tell you, some people truly believe what's written in their book. We need to start believing what's written in our book. Amen. And rise up together as a family. Give them praise, church.
God so loved the world. God so Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, everlasting life, everlasting, everlasting life. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. God so loved the world.
I am humbled as a pastor. Brothers and sisters, nobody knew what I was preaching on today. God gives it to me and I put it together. When you read the psalm that we sang for reading, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, proclaim the good news. I started reading that and my heart started feeling like, yes, this is exactly right. What we're preaching on today, we're listening to God. Did you hear what that song just said? Did you hear what we preached on and what that song just said? If you don't feel God's presence in here, you don't realize that God is really working in here, I pray that right now that you see it, you start to feel it, get a feeling inside of you that makes you in awe of God. We did not know each other what we were planning to do today, but that song would have been the perfect song to sing with us today. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he who believeth in him shall have eternal life. Amen. Do one thing. One thing we had to do. What is it? Believe. Did we have to do anything else? Did we have to go anywhere else? Did we have to give anything else? Do we have to do anything else? No. He who believes in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I am just in awe of God. I am humbled, and I pray that you receive and see what this church is doing. Look around and see what this church is really doing. And those people that aren't here today, get on the phone and tell them, you need to get here. Things are happening here according to God. We are so in line with the Word when that happens that it just shakes me to my core and humbles me to my core to know that. And I pray each week that we continue to do that. Because I didn't make it happen. They didn't make it happen. Maryland didn't make it happen. God made it happen. You need to see that in this church. I believe it. That's why we need to call people to this church. We're on the path. We're on the right path because we're following the Lord Jesus. I just want you to understand that where we are and what we're doing. Hallelujah. It is so exciting to be a part of this. You're all seeing God's hand and you witnessed it today. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Separate ourselves and we all love the same God. We do this in his house. The Bible says to do this in remembrance of him. It's all we're doing. It's a remembrance. We're eating a little piece of bread according to the word of God when he took the bread, blessed and broke it and passed it to his disciples and told them to eat. This is my body being torn for you. He was telling them, my body is going to be ripped up for you, and this is just a symbol of that. And he asked us to do the same thing in our church, just in remembrance of him. If you accept him, then do it in remembrance of him because you love him. In Jesus' name, I pray you receive that today. Thank you. Thank you, deacons. Thank you, Father. If Jesus was standing here asking me to do it, would you tell him no because that's not what you were taught? Or would you simply do it because he asked you to? The Word of God says he told his disciples to do this in remembrance of him. He's asking you this morning. Thank you, Lord. See that God's Spirit is in this house. If you can't understand how the connection is just awesome, just humbling, it's just amazing. I listened to her sing that song thing. How could she know unless God told her? Thank you, Lord. He wants us to do this in remembrance of him, and we know that he's watching. In Jesus' name. David said that I sin against man, I sin against God, not man. And he confessed his sin to God. And he believed he received that forgiveness. So this morning, Lord, forgive us for the iniquities of this week. For
Forgive us for thoughts, actions, words, anything that we might have done, Lord, that keeps us from you, keeps us from the blessings, and holds us down, Lord, separates us from each other. Anything, Lord, that we might have done that you saw, that you felt, Lord, we ask you to remove these iniquities. Just like David prayed, Lord, we believe that when we pray that you hear our prayer and you forgive us, Lord. So we ask for that to be cleansed and ready to receive this sacrament. As you poured the wine into a cup, saying, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins," he said, "Drink and simply do this in remembrance of him." Thank you, Lord. Falling short, we ask God to help us, lift us, and forgive us before we receive. As he blessed the wine and poured into a cup, "This is my blood being shed for you." And he said, "Drink and do this in remembrance of him," in Jesus' name. Receive the healing today, children. Receive God's healing today. Receive his strength. Claim it today. Claim God's touch today. Let it change you. Let's call the people who weren't here today and tell them what they missed. Tell them they need to be here, not for us, but for them. As a family, we need to treat each other with more love and kindness. We need to be kind. I know that sometimes we have jokes and stuff, and it's all beautiful, but we need to remember that other people might not feel the same way. And I'm confessing now, because I joked with Joanne when she came in, because I love to see her smile, but my spirit convicted me. And I said, "Why did you?" Because we don't need to have that. We need to be a family, and the stronger we are together, the stronger we are as a church. We can smile with each other and talk to one another and love one another and understand we all don't believe the same way. We all don't think the same way. Nor should we. As long as we look to God and look to Jesus and look to this church and lift up the bar higher and higher. So understand we all need each other, and we all need to be stronger and to watch out for each other's feelings. And if we do that, then if everybody watches out for somebody else's feelings, we're all going to be lifted up because we love one another. That's the way God calls us to be, and we just need to enjoy that. Enjoy where he's bringing us, church, because I see it and I feel it. And I saw it today in them songs and the word today. Be strong, because God is in this house. Give him praise, church.